Hi everyone, welcome to conference call number 165 with Eichon Ishmael, Rabbi Binyamin Hammer, live from Ramat Beit Shemesh, Rebbe.
Thank you so much, a pleasure to speak to you all the way from the Holy Land. We have for a family, Simcha Baruch Hashem, which is relevant to the question number one. May one wear a security bracelet that a hotel or building requires to enter on Shabbos without an Eruv. I never received that identical question. I see a very similar question from new fathers. In America, they're afraid of baby snatching. So you can't even get into the area where the new children are just born. If you have a bracelet on your wrist, prove that you are the father. So this is an interesting discussion, which is found, the longest source is found in Orchot Shabbos, Perek Chav Ches, footnote Reish Tzadi Dalet. And there he says that this security bracelet is not a malbush, so not something you wear as clothing, nor is it a takshit, which may be something to adorn an individual, and therefore it's a major problem. There's an Oroz Arua that's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Aleph Sitkotin Pei Gimel. It talks about a chosam of an eved. There were servants, you know, you're not supposed to let your servant do any malacha either, and the Saras HaDibris, Abdecha. And what happens, he has his chosam. It's the same thing. It's not a takshit, it's not a malbush, but it's considered to be mutas, as the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because urchei, it's the normal way. And then you might say, here too. What is the difference? There, it's urchei permanently. This Evan has this chosam all the time. It's to make sure that, you know, never knows whose servant it is. Whereas here, it's only for a few days, while the mother's in the hospital with the baby. There's a Gemara that's Nun Gimel and Beis and Masech B'Shabbos that says that when it comes to an animal that's also B'Emtecha and Aseret HaDibros, there's a leniency even in a situation where it's temporary. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Aleph that's called Pei Dalet quotes the Vilna Gaon that a handkerchief that is sewn on to a garment is permissible based on the same Oroz Arua, even though, presumably, it's only sewn on for Shabbos. Well, of course, you may say, but that's every single Shabbos. Here, it's only going to have a baby once a few years. Maybe more than that, it's kept on the Shabbos like a garment all the time. He takes the garment off with the handkerchief on Motzei Shabbos and puts it back in on Friday afternoon. So that's what's more related to the garment than the bracelet is to the new father or to the person in the hotel or things of this nature. The Sharatzian in Siman Shin Hei Sivkotan Mem Tes quotes the Mishnah Meshech the Shabbos Nun Dalet Amud Beis that says that if there's a chicken and you tie a string with some identifying sign on the foot, as a simon, usher. Why is it usher? So Rashi says there in the Dalam and Bay, because it may fall off, and he'll carry it. That doesn't apply nowadays, it's this bracelet not falling off. But the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis says, no, it's considered to be a masli. Now the Sharatian quotes both opinions, does not decide which one of them is right, so you would normally say, Fake the Rabban and Lakula. We don't have Rishus Rabban nowadays. Even according to Pirush Mishnayis, should still be Mekel. So there are two books that are somewhat contradictory. There's a book called Hospitals and Refuah, and there he quotes, it's written by Rabbi Rother from Lakewood. There on page 116, footnote 27, that Shlomo Milik Shlita from Toronto was also Mekel. There's another book called Rofe Neman by Pinchas Badna Shlita, and on there, on page 183, he quotes, there are those who are strict about this, he quotes Shlomo Zalman from Aruch HaShabbos. I couldn't find it anywhere. Bottom line, it's a machlokes. I believe is real to be Megal than a Shas HaTchach, which it usually is, based on Sfeg HaDarabon on the Kula. Question number two. If someone is found in a place where he can't keep chumras or practices that he is used to, for example, one who only eats shmura is a guest in a house where there is no shmura, can he be lenient? Does he need a Taras Nedarim? The answer is it's mutter. Shmura is not a really requirement, nor does he even need a Taras Nedarim. Why not? There's a Dama Merivava spoken about before in Yeridei Simon Reish Yudalit, commenting on the Shach Sivkot and Beis, who says that Hataras Nedarim is if you want to abandon a neder or a laudatory practice. But if you plan to go right back to it, just this particular time you can't keep it. Someone is too sick to stand up for a laning or something like that. So technically speaking, there's no need for Hataras Nedarim because you know, next week you'll be celebrating, you'll be standing again. So doesn't really need it. You want to do it, can't hurt, but according to another Buddha, it's not necessary. Number three. Is separating Mishabera, Kelmolly Tils from any women, bin, minig, or without basis. The last two are the same. It can be a minig without a basis. Just that people separate things. Number four. Someone traveling on Friday, Motzi Pesach, this year ordered chalas from a kosher baker owned by a non Jew on Tuesday, Erev after the Pesach. The motivation was fear of not having Lecha Mishnah when they returned home on Friday. They were asked for and provided a credit card in order to pay on Tuesday. So the challah was not baked till Friday morning, so it would be fresh. Did the person own chametz on Pesach would have made a difference. The item was already baked, i.e. ordering a cake from Motzi Chag that was in display case would have made a difference if they paid by debit card, Zelle, where the payment is more immediate, as opposed to a credit card. The answer is he never owned any chametz in this case. He owned nothing. It wasn't his on Pesach. Was his? It was low bully all. It wasn't even baked yet. Of course it wasn't his on Pesach. The second case, the more complicated, that's already in the display case over Pesach, and you paid for it already. So then you have to have kavana, explicit kavana, not to acquire it. Not to acquire it. I don't want it. I don't want it. If you don't want it, till after Pesach, there's room to be lenient, even if it's paid for by a credit card. And also Zelles and debit cards. It's not a good idea to do. Number one is a chashash. You have the wrong kavana. You really have it in mind, the back of your mind to really acquire it. Look, we know if someone's mevatel chametz, it's usher. Simon Tufman Chesif, hey, why? You mevateled it. Well, they're afraid. You didn't really mean it. You're trying to fool us. Would that apply over here? Maybe. And the Barhetiv, if you didn't tell Takonim Chazal to burn it or sell it, we make a Knas, maybe here as well, or maybe we should say it's a very rare case, never made Xavier. So in the Shas HaTzchak, it's okay, don't do it again. Number five. What's the law regarding the haircuts this Friday for those who hold the first 33 days of Shiv Shira? Mishnah Berurah, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Erev Shabbos, and Simon Tov Tzadik Gimel, end of Sukkot, Neis Matarim, the combination of Simchas Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And so since the whole thing is a minig in the first place, one has the right to align the minig of the Mishnah Berurah, even though there are those who argue. Number six. When it's always held regular tzeis, 50 minutes from Melacha on Motzei Shabbos, and moved to a community city with a prevalent practice, Shabbat in the Tav, 72 minutes, does one have to adopt this minhag hamakom, or can one follow his regular long-time practice? It all depends. What does the word prevalent mean? What does prevalent mean? If everyone holds like Shabbat in the Tav, you have to follow it. That's the din of minhag hamakom, shalach hasham. But prevalent means that some do and some don't. Like there's a shul that doesn't keep Shabbat in the Tav. There's not one big community that everyone keeps every time. So it wouldn't be binding. I mean, it's hard to know. Obviously, if one person is out there, 100,000 people, you can't say it's not a minig hamakom. So it's a little bit of a wiggle room to try to figure out if he ain't a hamore, is it considered really, is it really a minig hamakom, which is binding on those who move in? Well, more likely, it's a minhag of a majority of the people, but there's a minority, in which case it's not binding. Number seven, this coming Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the tzibur finishes the weekly parsha and then realize they forgot to take out a second sefer. They're allowed to take one out then, or should they roll the Torah to Pinchas? What if they realize during the landing that they forgot? Would the halacha be different? In my opinion, in all cases, they should take out a second sefer. The reason is that's our minhag. Better late than never. That's what I think. I'm sure there's other people with different opinions. Number eight, afar from Pesach. The lumdusha husband of the nauseous woman who ate the matzah and vomited at that bench asked, what was she supposed to do about the third kos, since it's not being said on a kos shel bracha? B, on the night of the Seder, someone benched the Kayal of Yavo. He did not remember this until after he drank the third kos. What should he do now when he benches again? Flip another kos and bench over it? Drink it when he finishes benching? Oh boy. So here's the answer. I believe that one can say that this cup is a cold shell birchas hamazon. Even this woman is not saying birchas hamazon, because everyone else at the same time is saying birchas hamazon with this coast. Tosin has a suggestion in Pesachim Tzadi Testament Beis that not everyone has to drink the cup, only one person. It's considered a kosher bracha for everybody. We don't pass it that way, of course. But here, in this case, we can argue that it's a kosher bracha of benching, because the other people who kept the matzah down in their stomachs are benching at the time of the kos. If you want to say, based on lumdus, that's not true, I understand the lumdus why it might not be true, then the question will be as follows. We can divide things, we can bifurcate things. This individual drank a cup of wine, but you can argue it's not a kosher bracha because she's not benching. The Gemara has, according to the Gersa Sarif Rambam, the person's shesom b'vasachas, either cheres yotza, the abakosas lo yotza. It means you fulfill one dimension, that there are cheres, not the second dimension of seder bracha, alakos. So this lady fulfilled the mitzvah of cheres, because she drank a cup of grape juice or wine, but not seder bracha alakos. She didn't bench. So what she should do now, what should she do now? She has one aspect for this lumdusha guy, and she's missing one aspect. This is, if you look on the Brisker of Sefer and the Rambam, he has this idea of two different things. So therefore, what I think should be done, again, if possible, is that she should have a kazayas of matzah, keep it down, and bench, and thereby fulfill the aspect of seder bracha alakos. You'll tell me, but it's most of alakosos. There are five cups. Number one, seems to me that if the woman has a third kos not being said on a kosher bracha, and now we tell her, have a kazayas of matzah, bench, and have the, we'll call it a cup 3B, not 3A. So it seems that it's very possible that the Borei Pregofen that she made on the first cup will help for the second cup, in which case we're not worried about Mosif Alakos. She should always use grape juice. One of the reasons of Mosif is because intoxication, which cannot happen with grape juice. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Simon Tuff, I intested Kodnei, the Sharetzi and Dalit, who talks about that. That's what I recommend for this Lumdus Shavuot. Okay? The second Lamed Shekes. What happened? What happened? Skyala Viyama. So it was Zipi on his bench. Okay? But you fulfilled, again, the myth of guzzling down, you fulfilled all that. So now you have to, what do you have to do? Drink again, right, when you bench again. And again, you're not worried about most of other kosos. I'm not going to spend more time on this lum de shashar. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Question number 9. On Cholamayid, my grandson spit up on my pants. Can I spot clean it? If he spit up all over my yamta soup, they're allowed to dry clean it for the last days. So this ketshuvas in Simon Tov Kuf Lamedalad, footnote 4, is matter spot cleaning. It's Mishmer Shabbos Kukosa and Rav Moshe and Chazon Avadja. The second one, where the whole thing is dirty, is not so simple. I would say get a different suit. Today everyone has different suits, so it's not the fanciest suit. So what? But even if you have no other suit, it's not so simple to clean an entire suit. You look there in footnote 32. Not so simple. That says to take a strict position on this. So it's better to wear a different suit. 10. For many guests over the course of Cholamayid and run out of clean linen, to allow to wash the linen. In that same chapter, Pesukim Shuvos, the answer is yes. There in footnote 23 from the Shemir Shabbos to Chosef from Shlomo Zalman. He ran out. He had no choice. It was like running out of underwear. Remember, these days, the average Malabasa today has a guest, oh, it has to be a clean sheet. We grew up, the sheets were left on the bed for so long. The Shiva guys, it's on for who knows how long, other guests sleep there. But the Malabasa is much more fastidious and concerned about cleanliness, hygiene, and her Balabasta standards, so therefore I believe that she runs out, it's okay. Number 11. After Pesach, someone mistakenly bought chametz from a Jewish-owned store that did not sell chametz to the best of the local rabbanon's knowledge. What should he do with the chametz now? May he return it to the store. A rav told him it was a mekach tos, and he could return it, which he did. If that was an incorrect shot, what should we do now with the money they receive when they return the chametz? I happen to think it's a correct shock. Why not? It really is a mekach tos. Let's assume it's wrong, for example. So I would say, based upon that pattern, if it really is a problem, so the money, which is the exchange for chometz gomer, is a problem. It could be also v'hano. But chometz nukshe is mutter. That's a shtavur, a tough mem zayin. What about a taroves? So, if it's a min b'sheino, it's not both a b'shishim, it's a problem, because it could be by a word or isa. But if it's min b'mino, both a b'rov, certainly with a isa, so therefore, there's room more for leniency. 12. The Balabas was out of a job, just got a job as a lawyer in a courtroom and saw this week. Machman dressed and appearance there. Keeps in the Hugav Elstrom and starting from Rosh Chodesh. She wants to know if he is allowed to shave daily during the Sfira. B. In general, is it acceptable leniency to shave during the Sfira every Erev Shabbos, the covered Shabbos? Now, Sfira is only a minute. For Moshe the Tshuva, in Igles Moshe Chalidah Tzimah Kuv Beis, that says, for the purpose of Parnasa, you're allowed to shave during Sfira. They never made a minute when it's going to affect your Parnasa. Does everyone agree with Rav Moshe? No. No, not everyone agrees with Rav Moshe. Pesukei Shuvos quotes of Rav Yoshev is not masculine to Rav Moshe. Shaving every Friday it does exist as a minhag, but not so prevalent. I wouldn't want to rely on it. But when it comes to shaving for Parnassa, we have to add my Rebbe's take on this. His take was that minhagim cannot be just haphazard or random, that they patterned after halachic constructs. And he said that the avelus of Shiva is a very serious avelus. That corresponds, for example, to Tisha B'Av. And the avelus of Shlosh was also Mechama, that we call Rosh Chodesh Av. And then in the Beis Chodesh, it's a 3 weeks. So he said you can shave in the 3 weeks because you can shave in the Beis Chodesh. Same with Sfira. Sfira is comparable to the Minhagim of Yud Beis Chodesh. When you're allowed to shave. My Rebbe used to shave in Sfira, not just on Friday. So most people don't like that, but it's an additional consideration in discussing this serious question. Okay. Now, 13. At a Shiva house, what is the proper way to say Hamokum? What is the proper way to say Hamokum? Sitting or standing? Okay, good question. But believe it or not, I looked up one sefer called the Divrei Kitzur Divrei Sofrim by Rabbi Avramzal, and he has it. He says in Perek Chof Ches in Sif Nun Gimel, it's better to stand. B. It's only one other. Is it more appropriate to say Hamokum Minachem Es Oscha or Eschem? Guess what? He has that too. In Oscha Vav, Rav Yaakov Emden says Oscha, but many say Eschem, even for one person, either because Hashem is involved or some of the more polite way to speak in plural. So either way is good. And the other supposed to answer, how many has that too? There in Chav Ches, paragraph Chav Av, yes. It's a bracha, you should answer, how many? 14. And may an other during Shiva say Tillim for a cholah. What if he has a daily routine of completing Tillim every month? B, if an other has his regular daily learning Chavos, they learn his two Mishnayos a day, Peg of Kitzur, or his Daf Yomi. What about if he usually learns a portion of Mishnayim, Mikra, Vechatagim, Rashi, I should say, every day? All good questions. So, Tillim for a Chola. There too, it's found in Divrei Sofrim, Perek Lamed Hei, Sif Nun Vav, the Prima God of his Matere, and that's the minute, where the Chazon Ish has a Sira, of Chaim Kanievsky, since maybe he was Matere for a woman and asked for a man. And the pre-Megadim says it's a derech tchina, and it's mutter. You don't even need a cholah. Tillim is simply said as a tchina, not as learning Torah. What are daily cholahs? Absolutely not allowed. You can't. It's real learning. What about the Shnai Mikra Vechad Rashi? He talks about that too. In Os Nunhei of Machlokas, since most people are strict about this. However, I'm sorry, that was the Chovos. But as far as the Shnai Mikra and Machlokas in paragraph Memtes, some in Machlokas, some say it's also B'cholu V'Shabbos, some say it's Mutter B'cholu V'Shabbos. The Marsha is a good Achra, it's Mutter V'Shabbos and also B'chol. That's what should be done. 15. A chiv who is not a member of the shul comes to daven and the tzibur says, currently there is no member who is a chiv. The tzibur is complaining that he is told that. It seems to bother some of the members, four members of the shul who don't usually complain, have already expressed their strong reservations to his davening for the yamen. I'm sure that there are more. What should I do to try and navigate this situation? Listen, in order to daven, after the marutz of the call, the people are not happy with him, you have to replace him. But they should try to make a pshara. Someone who's a novel wants to down for the other. Let me start from Asher Volatzion. That's look carefully. That was the main issue of an novel, to say the Karsh Neskabu. Whatever, if that works, I hope it works. Let's go on. 16. One is prepared a cold tea essence for Shabbos. I'm assuming, and I hope it's right, that cold tea essence means they cooked up tea essence and it cooled off. If I'm wrong in the question, then everything I say in the tongues is null and void. We have the wrong facts. That's what I'm assuming. I think that's probably the intention of the questioner. Again, cold tea essence means they cooked up tea bags in a pot and it cooled down. So now it's cold. How does he actually make the tea with water from a hot urn? A, pouring a little essence into a mug and then pouring the hot water on urn onto the essence. B, pouring out water from the urn into a mug first and then adding the cold essence. C, putting essence into one mug, water into a different mug, and then pouring the hot water from the second mug onto the cold essence in the first mug. It's a lot of preferable from a Bishlam and Tomei perspective. Very, very good questions. Very good questions. Let's go slow. The first halacha is asur. We don't put, it's called Irui. So we pass the halacha. There are those who claim it's only a sort of Irui if it's water, liquid onto liquid. The Besmeya suggests that, but not everyone agrees to that. So we cannot allow the first scenario to pour boiling water on a little bit of essence. Can't do that. Second scenario, hot water from an urn to a mug first, and then adding, we call that a klisheni. Klisheni, the Mishnah Brura says in Shin Yud Ches Sikot Lamed, based on what he says in Chesimachon Chav Gimel, that a double lach, Shin Estane, you can put in a klisheni. You know, they're not combining all the chumras. That's exactly this case. The third case, of course it's better. It's better because instead of being plain klisheni, it's uri from a klisheni, which we assume is more kala, though there is a dissenting view. From the perspective of Tovei, it's also better that way. But you know, our main concern is Bishul. The rest is just sort of a side story. 17, they want play magnetars with a young child on Shabbos. I'm told that magnetars is a more wobbly and fragile version of Lego, which means it's typically taken apart after the game is played, and if it's not, you shake the carton which has it, it falls apart. Because it ain't a shokayama cloud. If that's the case, it's mutter. If the facts change, then we will hang their Legos on frame it and put it on the wall. It's a different story. So about the average case where it's a few hours, it's put into the box until next Shabbos. Okay. 18. Can a boy under bar mitzvah make a siyum b'chorim for the tzibur, or in a camp for allowing to eat meat during the 9 days? Piskei Tshuva Siman Tov Ayin footnote 26 says it's okay. And apparently the Briskerov and Rabbi Vosner and Sternberg, excuse me, and that's what the Briskerov and Rav Vazna said, Rav Sternberg is not so convinced. Chuvas and others, Shalagimel Simon Kuf Yudal, not so clear. It's all admitted, so we can be makel if necessary. In both situations, Siyim B'chor to the Siyim, and the 9 days, I think it's okay. 19. Majnu Shul just put up a beautiful custom-made barochas in Erev Pesach after 2 years of using a curtain. Gives me a marriage respond much simpler to see it. Should we have made a bracha of Shechiyonim or Atova Meitiv, and if so, is it still possible to make that bracha now? Could be you would make it if you feel all excited about it. Depends on somewhat subjective. To do it now, I don't know. To when can you make these brachas? So why do you make this brachas? His happiness wore off. So most folks would say, you would not. You can do it without Shem Malchus if you want, but most people hold that way. We'll see soon. 20. Ganeshina Pesach with the word of God spelled properly, and the Rav told me he was in his position to not need to be put in Shemus. What do I think? You know, we spoke about it once before, that Rav Yitzchak Zalchanan, after my yeshiva is named, had a position of leniency over here. Why? It's made for reading once and throwing out. There's no kedusha. Kedusha has to be for a more permanent basis. So therefore, there's room to be lenient over here for that very same reason in this case as well. discussing a case where someone prepared for the wrong bar mitzvah parasha. I just had the show now. So we shouldn't make extra chumras. Okay, next. The Amora Rechaim 3071 calls the Chumash Edition. One may not discuss news and world events on Shabbat, unless one enjoys such discussions. A local college student has learned this recently. Asked about it. I'm concerned that she will alienate her family by refusing to participate in such discussions at the Shabbat table. Is there room for her to be lenient and participate in the conversations because she enjoys being with her family, even though she doesn't enjoy the topic itself and feels uncomfortable dressing on Shabbos? It seems to me that's okay. The honor that she experiences by being with her family, that's also included. It's also kind of honor. Being with family, I just came out of Yontif literally a week ago. I spent time in my children's houses in Woodmere. It was very, very pleasurable, satisfying, and nachas-filled. So I think that's something which should be encouraged. 22. A woman wants to get a ring for a friend into a grave on the ring, some version of Shvisi Hashem, the next summon. She realizes that the friend will likely wear it uncovered in the bathroom. Unlike the thank you Hashem hat, we spoke about it earlier, this is a clearly meant to reference Torah. Is there any version of these inscriptions which would be okay? For example, she just wrote, she beats you the negri, lo lechem lechem ligma. The answer to that question is yes. And the reason is, it's just an expression. Not meant to come from the Moshe, the Shulam, Kol Sosa, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosa, Kol Kavira, also took him in Yirmiyahu. But it's not telling me it's a pasuk, it's just a phrase. This might benefit from that exact same exemption. Finally, 23. Once again, Issa Nof, a flesh of a dead body. Moshe is lenient regarding bone grafts from non-Jews because of the great medical need. Igros Moshe. I can understand why that would permit the patient to receive the graft and the surgeon to perform it. But the surgeon permitted to accept payment for this given the Isur Hanah. So the answer is yes. He's obviously doing something which is permissible. Permissible. Generally speaking, a doctor is supposed to work for free, but that never works out. He has to make a pronouncement for his family. So therefore, it seems to me that in a situation like this, it's permissible to accept payment for this, notwithstanding the potential of an Issur Hanah. We assume that Mutter, in this case, as Ezra Moshe, is, if it's Mutter there, it's Mutter here as well. Okay, we'll stop here.